Growth can be painful, even if it is a really good, wonderful thing. And this morning, we're in Acts chapter 6, the early church, and the early church has problems too. In the midst of this growth, this gospel that brings families together, not just one or two, but five or 500, there are problems that occur. We're going to hear one of them. Acts chapter 6, we're going to just read the first seven verses. And it goes like this. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas from Antioch, a convert, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we're here to worship you. Part of that is we want to know you more. We want to see you more clearly. I pray for the preaching of your word this morning, that you would speak to us by your Spirit. Speak through me by your Spirit. Move in the hearts of each and every one of us here this morning. Amen. Have you guys ever heard we should go back to the early church? Right, like the early church, it was just so great. It was all the rage. Nowadays, right, the church has so many problems. There's just so much politics that's involved in it, and people complain about so many things. Money has gotten so involved, and if we could just go back in time to the early church, everything would be fixed. Well, I will tell you that that is actually not true. As we just read, the early church also had problems. Growth brings with it problems, and the gospel actually does create problems, specifically because you have a society which breaks down all of these walls. You've got a multi-ethnic society that comes together. You've got people from all across the socioeconomic stratum. They all come together, and you try to work together as one big family. Again, not two families who are married together, but hundreds of families that are brought together. And in this time, there in the early church, you had some Christians who were basically their original tongue was Hebrew, and the others, their original tongue was Greek, and it was in Jerusalem, and so the dominant force were the Hebrew-speaking Jews. And the Greeks felt like they were getting ostracized. They were getting the short straw, if you will. It wasn't fair. And so they went and they complained about this and said, "Hey, our widows, the ones who really need help, are getting overlooked because they aren't in the majority." Now, obviously, we here today, we don't really have, most of us, I think, are just English speakers. We don't have that divide that I know of. But I will say that I am a tasker, and there are no other taskers in Oakdale that I know of. I don't have any relatives in Oakdale or the surrounding area. I don't know if you guys have noticed this about yourselves, but you are all related to one another in one form or another. Whether by blood or by marriage, even if it's like, hey, it goes back two generations or four generations. Which is such a gift. It's such a beautiful thing. It's miraculous. And you go, man, how amazing is this? But it can sometimes bring with it problems. Have you guys ever felt tension along any sort of divisions? And then it sometimes seems to come down maybe to clans. Who gets the power? Who's got the most connections? Some of our problems don't really change over the course of 2,000 years. Right, maybe you come in here and you think, gosh, I feel like a Grecian Jew who's a widow and I'm just getting overlooked. There's really no ministry for me. I feel like I get no attention. Or maybe You feel like a Hebrew-speaking stonecutter, and you think, I work hard all day long, and then I pour in whatever else I've got into the church to try to help and serve. It's just not fair. Or maybe you walk in and you go, I don't feel like either of those. I'm here by myself, and I'm trying to figure out what in the world is going on. And I say, welcome to the church. This is the gospel. It brings a lot of different families together. Some of them are big, some of them are small, some have great history, some have no history. And we all come together into one room, and we worship the same God who calls each and every one of us a son or a daughter. Growth brings with it growing pains. It happens. There is no church that doesn't have problems, that doesn't have issues. Anywhere you go, you're going to find that to be true. We've got to understand that there are going to be problems in any family, and that includes the church. But even if we understand that, does that mean that we should just ignore them? All right, like, hey, these are problems, but we're just going to totally ignore what that is. No, of course not. That is not a good thing. Seeing problems is a good thing. It is a good thing that the problems here with the different widows was brought to the attention of the apostles. So we know that seeing problems is a good thing, but I will tell you that finding solutions is even better. Seeing problems nowadays, I would say, is pretty easy. We live in a day of technology. Like, you guys get bombarded by stuff, whether you want it or not, constantly. And you go on social media. How many solutions do you find on social media? How many problems do you find on social media? Yeah, we're really good at being critical. We live in a day of skepticism, right? Like, no solution is actually a good one, but all the problems are the worst problems. And it's so easy to get wrapped up in it and just say, this is bad, and this is bad, and this is bad. No, woe is us. That seeps sometimes or seeps into the church as well. But seeing problems is a good thing. Finding solutions is even better. I'm just going to point out some things that I want us all to notice about those solutions, specifically within the church and how it was handled here in Acts chapter 6. First off, the solution is people. People are actually the solution to the problem. I'm sure that you guys noticed, right, that they were told, these Grecian Jews, to go and pick among yourselves 7 from among you, known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. Find people to help. I want you to notice too that the qualifications for these people are that they are filled with the Spirit and wisdom. It's not just, hey, who is most gifted in this? Who could fix it? Right? We have a problem and we want it fixed, but rather, we have a problem. Who are those who we can trust, who are godly men, godly women, who can join us and help with this issue? Something that you might not actually notice, but all 7 of those names are Greek names. Right? So it's the Hebrew Jews who have all the power and they're upset, or the Grecian Jews are upset because they're thinking we're getting overlooked. This is the problem. And the 7 who are chosen are actually those who are most involved in the problem itself. Godly men, full of the Spirit and wisdom, but who know well what the problem actually is. I also want you to notice that the first thing is that the 12 gathered all of the disciples together, not just the ones who were the best ones or the ones who were the most holy, but each and every one of the disciples. All right, so if you're here this morning and you think, man, yeah, I see a lot of problems, but there's nothing that I can do to actually help with them, I say, that's all right. Maybe God's not calling you to help with a specific issue that you see, but then are there people that you know in the church who you think they actually could be helpful? I want to encourage them. That's something to notice. And then lastly, this is what I especially want us to notice. 2 actually are the last things. 2nd to the last one. That the focus is on serving and not being served. That the solution involves people who serve, not how can they be served better. They choose 7 who are godly, who are heavily involved in the issue, who they know will step up and serve others well. I think of the end of one of the most famous speeches that we have by Abraham Lincoln, government of the people, by the people, for the people. There it is in the church. Lastly, right, because this church, I would say, doesn't struggle with serving very much. Our society as a whole, I would say, does, right? We live in a very consumeristic society. I'm sure you guys have noticed that. It's all about what can you buy, what can you get, what can you receive. But this church, I would say, man, you guys pour your soul into things. You guys put in so much time to so many different things. Service is not so much of an issue. But I want you to notice, where is the resolution of this problem in the passage? Passage is all about, right, how you've got the Grecian Jews and the Hebraic Jews and the widows and how it's not even who's getting the most attention. And then here's the solution. We'll get these seven godly men who will help distribute in a more fair, proper way. And then we have the conclusion here in verse 7, which you would maybe think has something to do with how the problem was resolved. But instead we see the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. And then right after that, we hear about how Stephen, one of the seven chosen, actually becomes someone who pushes the gospel even more. We don't get a resolution to the problems with the widows. We assume that it was made fair, because that is what is right and just and godly. But the focus is actually earlier on in chapter 2, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Now that sounds harsh. It sounds like the apostles are essentially saying, hey, it's not important that these widows get food. Clearly we know that that's not true, because then they devise a plan for how to make sure that the widows do get the food that they need, how they do have their daily needs met. But they always remember that the most important part of the church is that we are a group of people who make followers of Jesus. We help others take one step closer to Jesus, as we ourselves take one step closer to Jesus. And part of that is absolutely caring for the needs of those amongst us and those around us. That's all throughout Scripture. But if we forget the reason that we are a church, if we forget that Christ is the one who brings us together and unifies us, that ultimately we as a church, our main mission is to help people take those steps towards Jesus, if we forget that, then we're no longer a church. There are a lot of really great secular organizations that focus on serving the needs of people, their daily needs, which again, I'm so grateful for. But ultimately, the greatest need that each and every one of us has is to be reconciled to our God and our Savior. Right? I might be hungry and I think if I just get bread, my whole life will be better. It'll be better for a day. But then after that, I'm going to come back to the same issues. Right? I might be struggling with being single and I'm so alone and I think, man, if I just got married, all my problems would be fixed. My life would be so joyous. Man, if that's you this morning, I just say, talk to a married person. You will very quickly, yeah, that'll, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, man. Well, it would be different for me, right? No, I would be the one who would just fix everything. No, of course not. Right? Or children. Like, if I only had children, it would just, my life would be perfect. Or if I had a better job, if I made more money, if I got a raise. Man, if I got a raise, then all of my life would just be settled. I'd be happy. And then I could grow old and die in peace. This has never worked. We've got thousands of years of history, and you don't even have to look back that far. Just talk to your parents or your friends or your enemies. You can see it in their faces too. The daily needs that we have are certainly important. God doesn't overlook those in the church. We ought not to overlook them either. But the thing that we cannot possibly overlook is the need that each and every one of us has to be reconciled to the God who made us, loves us, gave his son for us, and calls us to return to him. That's what we're here for, ultimately, is to help one another and those outside, not yet inside, do just that. We can't forget it, and all that we do ought to work towards just that end. Pray with me.